being committed to being victorious. Amen. Overcoming the things that it seems as if the world around us and the religious world that is around us this morning is being overcome. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in defeat. I'm not interested in being a statistic. I'm not interested in being a victim of prophecy. Amen. And I realize that a great man of God, Brother Mitchell, made that statement, and I've repeated it. He said, we are victims of prophecy. And I understand what he's saying by that when we look at the surroundings that we are existing in today. And I fully am aware of what he means by that. When there is a great falling away, there are seducers and men are waxing worse and worse, and sin is prevailing and it's darker than it's ever been. But I'm glad in the midst of that, even though we are victims of prophecy in that regard, I'm glad I don't have to be one of those victims. Amen. I preached a number of years ago from the book of John that overcomers do overcome. Amen. We have a promise in the Word of God that we have overcome the world, and through that, we can overcome the world. Now, I want to preach to you for just a little bit this morning with the help of the Lord on being committed to conquer. Amen. Overcoming the world. The truth about triumph. I want to be triumphant in my life as a child of God. Now, it's been said that you are not going to conquer anything that you are not willing to confront. That's a big problem in this day. It seems as if that we live in a generation of Christianity, and that's, I use that very loosely, that word, but it appears that we live in a religious society that does not seem to want to confront anything. We live in a very passive world. We live in a very diplomatic society, if you will. They want to take diplomacy and try to live their religious life. Just leave us alone and we'll leave you alone, and we'll just go about this way, and we'll just let the Lord sort it out in the end. But can I tell you something this morning? You may leave them alone, but they're not going to leave you alone. Did you hear what I said this morning? You may sit back as a Christian and say, well, I'm just not going to say anything. And you may try to be a secret disciple and I'm just going to leave them alone. They're going to go on their way. They're going to live the way they're going to live. And they're going to say what they're going to say. And they're going to, amen, be influenced and influence others. But I'm just going to ignore them. I'm going to let them go ahead and die and go to hell. And I'm going to let them go ahead deeper into sin. And I'm just going to leave them alone, and I'm just going to leave the devil alone, and I'm just not going to bother the darkness that's in the world, and I'm not going to be willing to confront the judgment that's in the world. I'm just going to leave them alone, and then they can leave me alone, and I can live my Christian life and be happy and go on. You remember the story when Mary was anointing the Lord's feet and washing, amen, her feet with her hair. She had broken open that alabaster box, and Judas rose up and said, what meaneth this waste? And Jesus said, leave her alone. But the bottom line is, Judas wouldn't leave her alone. And they're not going to leave you alone. And if we're not going to understand this morning the importance and the relevance of the battle and the conflict that we are in, then we are going to be pulled in, and we are going to find ourselves overwhelmed and, yes, overcome by the world and faced with great defeat. But I'm glad, thank the Lord this morning, you do not have to suffer defeat. But you're not going to know anything about victory if you're not willing to confront the things that are there to conquer you. I thought this morning about the devil. If you're here this morning lost, and there's lost people in this building today, they're not saved by the grace of God. If they died right now, they'd open up their eyes in hell without the Lord. And the reason why that they are in the condition that they are in is they do not want to confront the devil. The devil has a stronghold on their soul. Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He is a liar from the beginning. But I'm glad that you can confront the devil. You can confront the devil this morning. But the only way you can confront him is through redemption. I remember the day that Jesus saved me. We sang that song this morning. Since Jesus came into my heart. And there was a reality, a specific time and day when the grace of God reached me where I was at. I realized I was lost and undone, without hope and without God. I was tired of being abused by the Father that was governing and directing my life, the devil. And I wanted some victory. I wanted some peace. I was tired of sin and the dominion of sin ruling and reigning in my heart and in my mind. And I needed victory. I wanted victory, but I could not find it within my own strength. I could not achieve it by my own merit, but I'm glad that Jesus paid the debt that I owed at Calvary and shed his blood for my sin. And through the work of redemption, the Lord Jesus reaching in to my world, paying the price that I owed, I could confront the devil through the blood of Jesus and know what redemption is and know what overcoming is. And this morning, the devil has you in his clutches. The devil has you in his embrace. You're wrapped in the cords of your iniquity, and he has every intention for you to stay that way. The devil doesn't mind you being here at church this morning. The devil doesn't mind you enjoying the singing. The devil doesn't care this morning even if you kind of like hanging around the people of God. Amen. As long as you leave him alone with the power and the possession that he has in your life. And I'm going to tell you what, there's not a friend in this building that can love you enough to make that kind of difference for you to be able to overcome the devil. There's only one way to overcome the evil one, amen. If you're lost without Jesus, and that's through redemption, there's only one way that you can find victory, and that is in and through the grace of God. Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so this morning, I'm glad that I know what it means to have triumph in my soul. I know what it means this morning to overcome the devil through redemption when Jesus came into my heart. But that's not the only time that I've had to associate myself with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that took place through redemption and the work at Calvary. There's been times that I bowed this morning and I said, Lord, the thought of foolishness is sin, and I need you to forgive me this morning. I need to be sanctified and set apart. I want forgiveness today for the sins of my mind, the sins of the flesh, the things that I've let creep into my life that have been a hindrance and that has violated the law of God, that has transgressed the word of the Lord, that has broken your heart. God, I need you to purify me. I need you to cleanse me. And I'm telling you, thank God, the work of redemption, the blood of Jesus and the word of God can bring, thank the Lord, of that a power and ability to conquer and to overcome the devil. Amen. This morning, I thought about the power that Satan has in this world, and there's no way that you and I, as simple individuals, can even understand or even try to measure the power and the authority that he has in this world. This inspired word of God that is before us today, it tells us clearly that he is the prince and the power of the world. And the deception that is manifest, through his influence is unbelievable. Even here in this church, as I'm trying to preach the truth, you'd be amazed at those that are sitting here today whose mind is a long ways off, who has dismissed truth from their thought process, who will not even accept the reality of taking the truth and letting God work in their heart with it. But I'm telling you, the devil is a stronghold. The devil is a powerful being that exists in this world, and the only way that you're going to overcome him, the only way that you're going to know victory over his power, is through redemption. It's through the blood of Jesus, through the work at Calvary. Amen. Are you willing to confront that this morning? Is there anybody in the building this morning that would say, "Preacher, I'm tired of the devil having control of my mind. I'm tired of the devil having control of my life. I'm tired of the devil bending my head and bending my mind and dictating to me exactly what I'm going to do with my life. I'm tired of the influence of Satan governing my thought life and my actions and the things I'm doing. I am sick of it. I am tired of it." Would to God this morning at Pleasant View Baptist Church, they would rise up in the ranks of this people, a remnant that would be sick of the devil and sick of his power and sick of his possession and sick of all that he's doing and hate him with a passion that exceeds all other hatred, and say, "I want to bow at the feet of Jesus and associate myself with the blood, the sacrifice, with the scripture, the word of God. I'm going to commit my ways unto the Lord, and I'm going to let the things of God prevail in my life." Amen. Are you listening to me? You confront the devil. Amen. The only way you can overcome him is through redemption, through the blood of Jesus. Now that involves a lot of things. That word redemption, it involves the blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary. That word redemption involves the body of Christ that he laid down on the cross to die for the sins of mankind and pay the price of death, for the wages of sin is death. It involves the Bible, in that he took that body and his spirit and submitted his will unto the Father and lived by the law, the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. He lived by the precepts of this book. He fulfilled every jot and every tittle. Every prophecy was fulfilled by him. Everything in the Word of God was lined up and fulfilled by the Lord Jesus. That word redemption involves a great deal, and that is the only way that you can overcome him that is against you today. The only way that you can overcome the devil that has you and that bends you and moves you and causes you to bow is through the work of redemption. Do you understand that? You are not going to rise up with your character and measure of responsibility and overcome Satan. Now, I would not diminish this morning the importance of responsibility. Because when you get saved by the grace of God and you are given then the responsibility of knowing the Word of God and following its precepts. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't solely live for God through your character of fulfilling responsibility. That statement make any sense to you? Taking the character that you have and trying to, through discipline, fulfill religious duties and responsibilities and thinking you're going to overcome the devil that way. It takes a divine spiritual work to overcome this power. And you're not going to do it unless you have met Jesus. You're not going to do it unless you have a relationship with Him. And the only way, am I making any sense this morning? The only way that you can overcome, the only way that you can be committed to conquer, the only way that that's going to take place is if you have a relationship with the Son of God. And the only way that you're going to have a relationship with the Son of God, the only way, are you listening to me this morning? The only way that you will have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is to know something about the work of redemption. And I am confident in this day that we are preaching to people that have a Bible, that believe the truths that are therein, that understand with a head knowledge the historical existence of Jesus Christ and the creating power of God the Father, but they have never experienced a blood-bought salvation that brought them into the family of God and under the Lord. Lordship of Jesus, and have given themselves to the work of redemption. You'll have to face the devil. You're going to have to confront the devil if you're going to conquer him. And the only way that you can confront him is through the Lord Jesus. The only way you can conquer him is through redemption. Are you listening to me? Are you listening? I don't know about you, but I want to be committed to triumph. I want to overcome. I do not want to be a victim of the prophecies of this Bible. Amen. I tell you what, they took Daniel to Babylon. But he refused to become a Babylonian. Daniel didn't have no choice but to go to Babylon. Does everybody listen to me? Daniel didn't have any choice but to go to Babylon. Because God pronounced judgment. God pronounced judgment on the nation of Israel because of their collective sin and ungodliness. Just like there is judgment pronounced on this country and the world. And there's nothing, Josh, you can do about that. You understand me? There's not one thing that you can do to change that. I thought about it. I was talking to my uncles. You know how you get together with family and politics and everything comes up. But I'm telling you what, we have seen a decline of our relationship with the nation of Israel for the last several decades. From 1948 till today, it has went downhill. And I know and understand that this country, amen, is more of a friend to Israel than any country in the world. But in that, our relationship has diminished. And there's nothing that I can do about that. Amen. Because I know what this Bible says is going to happen, that's going to revolve around the Jewish people, who they are and what they are and where they live. Amen. But I don't have to be a part of it. Amen. I may have to live in this country that goes down that pathway and down that road, but I can rise up against it. And I'm telling you, I don't know if we got enough in this country in this day and time that is committed to that kind of victory. And I'm going to tell you what, you're never going to know that kind of victory. You're never going to be able to be committed to that kind of victory until you're saved by the grace of God. Until you know redemption. And then after you're saved, realize that your relationship to the cross and your relationship to the blood and your relationship to the Word of God is all the part of redemption's plan. Amen. Triumphant over the devil. I thought about darkness. You're not going to be victorious or overcome the darkness unless you're willing to confront it. And I'm really interested in a church that's committed to something. I carried that burden this morning. I mean, I'm glad that pews got people. People are in pews this morning. We have a house full of people, and I praise the Lord for that. And I do thank God for it. And You know, I guess we make excuses. You know, well, there's always going to be carnality. I realize there's always going to be carnality. I understand that. But I'm telling you, I'm interested in people that's willing to confront darkness. Amen. Brother Johnny Jones preached, "How great is the darkness?" And I don't know the answer to that question. But I do know that there's darkness in this world. And the only way that you're going to overcome darkness is through regeneration.
Amen.
Amen. The only way that you are going to overcome darkness is knowing that you have a work of God in your heart. I was going to preach this morning. I'll be honest with you, if you knew where this is all coming from this morning, amen. I don't know. I'm just telling you today. I thought about preaching out of Romans 9 on give him your heart, where the Bible said, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Amen. I thought about focusing our attention there this morning on giving your heart. Have you ever done that? Have you ever given Jesus your heart? You see, that's the only way that regeneration will be experienced in your life. Now, you can be religious without giving anybody your heart. Amen. To be religious, all you have to do is give someone your head. Amen. But the only way that you're going to know the work of regeneration is to give Jesus your heart. It's dark. I was talking to my cousins and my sister. And they were all there, and we're talking about the buckle of the Bible Belt now. I'm in Greer, South Carolina, Greenville, Spartanburg, Greer, South Carolina, the North Carolina, Georgia. That is the buckle of the Bible Belt. There are more Baptist churches in those areas probably than anywhere else in all the United States of America, in that little conglomerate area right there. Tennessee, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina is the buckle of the Bible Belt. I'm talking about Baptist churches that look like stadiums and malls. I mean, this wouldn't make a good Sunday school class in those facilities. But there's darkness there. If there was light anywhere in the world, there should be light there. But there's no light. Darkness. Pop culture has crept in. Are you listening to me? You go to a Baptist church down south, and I don't go, I mean, I first time I've been exposed to it in a while, but you go down there and start milling around, I mean, it looks like a burlesque show. I'm not being vulgar, I'm being honest. It's wicked.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, it's ungodly. And it's darkness. And it's crept in and it's overcome. And I'm telling you, it is reaching into the lives of people. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. I don't want no part of it. And if that's what you want for your family, if that's the direction you want your children to go in, if that is the cause and purpose that you have, and you are not going to stand and confront darkness and be willing to be committed to overcome, being willing, amen, to triumphant over the darkness that is sure to engulf this world. Jesus said, "Work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." The Lord said that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that the darkness would come when a man could not work. He looked at his disciples. He said, "You have opportunity. You have privilege right now. You have freedom." And they were under Roman bondage and a Roman government that hated the gospel. But in that, he said, "It is still light. and you can still work. You can still preach the gospel. You can still reach men with the word of God. He said, work while it's day. The night cometh when no man can work. And throughout the word of God, he is clear in telling us that we are a light and we should never hide it under a bushel. Where's your light hid? Preacher, I can't overcome darkness. The only way you overcome darkness is through regeneration. Every person in this building, me included, are you listening? Everybody in this building, me included, no matter how, and some of you young people think that when you get my age that all this stuff vanishes away. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is no longer a problem. The youthful lust that you deal with, you think that when a man gets old, he doesn't have to face that any longer. You listening? The only way you overcome darkness is through regeneration. And the word regeneration that's found in this Bible tells us and is very clear in explaining to us that when a man gets saved, he is changed on the inside. Now there's people here this morning, and the reason why they would not step out of their pew and walk down this aisle, Brother Gilbert, and repent of their sin and give their soul to Jesus is because the devil has got them convinced in their mind that they could never live that kind of life. That they could not give up the pleasures of sin and the things that they put their life toward. And you can't in the state of mind that you're in this morning. The only way you can is through regeneration. And regeneration is that when you give your heart to Jesus and you are willing to forsake everything and turn to God and lay yourself on the altar for Him to take and mold and make and to conform to the image of His Son, He will change you on the inside.
Amen.
That's what salvation's about.
Amen.
It is an inward work of grace, a change on the inside that some of you have never known in your life. I'm going to tell you something. I was raised in church all of my life and heard some of the greatest preachers you'd ever heard. Never heard anybody preach out of nothing that I remember, amen, in a church setting but the King James Bible. But I had to experience the work of regeneration to overcome darkness.
Amen.
Are you listening? Are you listening? Is anybody home this morning? What kind of relationship do you have with darkness? When they say things out of the way, act certain ways, does it make them uncomfortable? On the job? At the family reunion? You'd be amazed at the buttons they're mashing on the remote this weekend.
Amen.
The different directions conversation goes when you're around family and things of that nature. Does that happen to you?
Amen.
Brother James is in Bermuda. Not right now, he's not, but he's been in Bermuda. You got a man riding around with him. Are you listening to me? I've said that a bunch because some of you are not listening. And I don't know how many times Brother James has said that man, somebody says something out of the way, and that man's not saved, far as I know. He's a lost man. If somebody says something out of the way, he'll say, hey, don't cuss in front of this man. Now he's there. I'm not there preaching to him every Sunday. Nobody's there watching over him. Nobody's there governing his actions. But you overcome darkness with the work of regeneration that's in your heart. What about you this morning? Are you overcoming darkness or is darkness overcoming you? You young men, Can you got the pie? I'm looking for some young men, Andrew, to be committed to overcome darkness. I'm not looking. No sissies can do it. You can't do it if you're going to be wishy-washy, upset, in and out, off and on. If you don't have the backbone and the stamina to stand, you're not going to do it. You're not going to make it. You're not going to do. You're not going to succeed. I'm looking for somebody to overcome darkness. I call somebody that's never been to this church before, except for when the kids or somebody sing for Christmas. And I call this man's wife. I was trying to get a hold of him. She answered the phone. You listed? And I was calling them about seeing if they was wanting to buy any hay, because I generally supply their hay for them. You know what she said? And I'm not saying this boastful. I'm just saying that there's a reason behind what's being said. Here's what she said. She said, "Delmer, the preacher's on the phone." As far as I know, outside of maybe the radio or something, they'd never heard me preach before in 25 years of living right up the road. You overcoming darkness, or is darkness overcoming you? Is anybody committed in this building to overcome darkness? Is anybody in this building committed to overcoming the devil? You're going to have to overcome damnation. Judgment awaits sin and the sinner. The only way you overcome the judgment of God is through reconciliation. Amen?
Amen.
You got sin in your life, Brother Jim? God's going to judge it. The only way that you can get away from that is have a relationship that is restored and made right with the Lord, the judge of the whole earth.
Amen.
Amen. We all understand from the Bible this morning that hell awaits everyone that dies without God. There is no purgatory. There is no hanging and floating around in the air. When a man dies, he lifts up his eyes in hell, in torment. In this dispensation, he wakes up in hell. Hell hath enlarged itself, the Bible said in Isaiah, to meet thee at thy coming. I don't know if it enlarged itself and took over paradise or not. When paradise and men were led captivity and Jesus took paradise above, I don't know when that happens. Not interested, I don't care. But I'm just telling you this morning, hell is beneath us. And absent from this body is to be present with the Lord until this body rises again at the resurrection. Amen. Are you listening to me this morning? But when a man dies without God, he dies and wakes up in the judgment and regions of an eternal inferno to face the judgment of God.
Amen.
The only way that you can get above that or get beyond that, overcome that, is through reconciliation.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. My wife, when my children were young, they had cut up in church. And she'd say, "Now, behave, straighten up, or I'm going to take you out and give you a whipping." Amen. Are you listening to me? People are amazed we don't have nursery around here. I told some of them this week, I said, you know, the moms and dads, they take their kids out where they're rear end out. When they look at that back door during a church service, they look at that back door or that little opening there, and they get nauseated because they associate that with their tail being tore up because they're cutting up in church. Amen. But they'd be cutting up. I don't know if it was Jamie or Jessica or which one of them it would be. But if they'd be cutting up, moving around, and wouldn't be still, wouldn't sit still. And she'd finally grab them up. She'd stand up and she'd start out the back. And it's all over the neck. Kissing on the neck. I love you, Mama. 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 You know what she's trying to do? She's trying to avoid judgment by getting a relationship restored. That's called reconciliation. Amen. Huh? Have you ever had your kids do that to you? I love you, Daddy. You know I love you. I love you, Daddy. You know I love you. And they're trying to do everything that is within their power to get their relationship reconciled, to avoid the judgment that is going to be put forth on their sin or their wrongdoing. And the only way you'll overcome judgment is to keep that relationship right with God. Now, where are you at with that this morning? Nobody else but you and the Lord. Nobody else. I'm not asking you how you and the wife are getting along. Or even you and the mother-in-law. Amen. I'm not asking how things are at the job. Or how the neighborhood and the community is treating you. I'm asking you this morning, is where is your relationship at with God? Because judgment, damnation is going to be enforced and imposed on wrongdoing and sin. The only way that you overcome that is through making sure that your reconciliation or the work of reconciliation in your heart is right with Jesus. Several things you got to confront. I could preach about death and talk about the resurrection. I could preach about doubt. You'll confront doubt. You ever been able to conquer doubt? There's people in this auditorium that sat in my office for lengths of time because of doubt. You know, I've tried to take the Bible and tried to take the Word of God. I've tried to pray for them and tried to pray with them. I've tried to sit down with them and analyze their profession for them, you know, to try to give them some peace of mind. But have you ever confronted doubt and overcome it? Have you ever confronted doubt and got victory? You know what our problem is, Miss Elaine? Most people don't want to confront the enemy that is trying to take over their life. They want to live beside of it and live with it and walk hand in hand down the road with it and never face it. Say, preacher, I am confronted with doubt. Well, why don't you confront doubt? And just analyze that word for a minute. Doubt. How do you overcome doubt? Well, doubt's insecurity. Would it not be insecurity? A big question mark. Is that not right? Is that not what doubt is? Is doubt nothing but just a big question mark? Insecurity? Wondering? A lack of confidence? Things that are not factual. Now, you don't doubt that pew is going to hold you up. You're sitting on it. Never entered your mind this morning when you came in here and sat on these pews, this floor was going to collapse, the pew's going to collapse, the building's going to crumble around you. Did it? You have just received it. That's the only way you overcome doubt, is just accepting something. Is that simple enough? Some of you, is anybody in the building wondered whether or not the car was going to start when they got out? Some of you might have. But for the most part, everybody came in this morning. You never entered in your mind, when I leave, I really don't know if my car is going to start. I really don't know. You just accept it. When you turn it over, it's going to start. And it surprises you if it doesn't.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's, well, I wonder what's going on here. Then you begin to doubt. I wonder what's happening here. And if it does it a few times, then every time you go somewhere and you get out and you turn that switch in total despair and doubt to the off position.
But you just receive things. And when you receive things, you overcome doubt. And you know something? That pew you're sitting on, that pew you're sitting on is nowhere close to being even in the equation of dependable as that book you hold in your lap. And the only way that you overcome doubt, the only way that you know what it means to conquer doubt, is to accept the reality of receiving the truth of God's Word. Now that sounds very simple and very elementary, but it's very complicated in this world. And there are those here and around the world that are doubtful, that are not confident, that are insecure, that are living in misery because they cannot accept the simple fact that God said it and that settles it, and in doing so receive the truth of God's Word. I'm determined, preacher, to overcome. I'm committed to conquering. It's been kind of topical. For some of you theologians, probably pretty shallow. But are you victorious? Ye are of God. Answer that question. That's a statement put forth in that phrase, but I want you to turn it into a question in your mind. Ye are of God, are you? Are you of God? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I really wanted to try to preach on priorities this morning, and really, there's some things that burden in my heart, and I don't want to turn anybody's world upside down this morning. I don't want to, but I tell you what, I've prayed and just meditated. I don't know how much I've prayed about it, but just meditated about priorities, and I know it's late. And I've thought about sometimes standing back and looking at this ministry and what we are doing and where our emphasis is are and where our strength and labor is in conjunction to how important it is to God. And trying to put a measure and a premium on what is important. I mean, we put a major emphasis on Bible quizzing for our young people, and the reason being is to get the Word of God in their mind so the potential would be there for it to get into their heart. Whether we have succeeded at that, I can't say, because only we have, all we can't do but what we can do. They have to determine whether or not it's going to be put in their heart. But I thought about just saying, yeah, we're done with everything for a while. And we're going to sit still, be a church, and focus on our relationship with God and our walk with the Lord. Amen. I'm talking about, and I'm just going to talk to you for a minute. I've preached, and I'm just talking about priorities. Amen. I thought, and I'm not being mean this morning, but I thought about the constant strength and monies and energies that we have spent in all these areas in comparison to what we have done in other areas. And I do not want to get out of balance. You listening? It's important to me, Matthew, that we have a relationship with Jesus and this church be just that, a church. Do you know most people don't know what that is? You go down south, they don't know what church is in the south. They don't have a clue what. There's a generation down south where churches are everywhere, and my mother's from there, my mother-in-law, we just brought her from there. But I'm telling you, they don't know what church is. what we do right here is foreign to them. You know what they do? They'll have two services on Sunday morning. Preacher gets up and preaches twice. And I do pretty good with the headache I got this morning, preach one time. He just preaches two back-to-back messages, gets up there, makes a little speech like a politician, and that's the end of it. And on Sunday night, they have small groups. They don't even have Sunday night. I'm talking about Baptist churches. They have small groups. In other words, they would take the young couples, and on Sunday night, they go off into a room by themselves and just do whatever they do. And then Emily and Allison and some of you young ladies would go somewhere in a small group. They don't even utilize the auditorium, I don't guess. They don't even know what church is. That's what they do. Independent Baptist have all kind of clubs and programs and stuff like that to reach the young people. And I'm for reaching young people, but I'm for reaching young people biblically. I thought about the souls on Tuesday night in Bowling Green this week. Those young people waving the balances. I thought about the hours that we've spent. Miss Brenda, I thought about the hours on the Christmas play and all the practice and all the... And I thought about, here's a two-day thing that in a year's time, nobody will remember except just a few people that whatever. And here's souls weighed in the balances every week. Where's God's premium at? Where's it at, Matthew? Where's it at? Where's our priorities? Where's the focus of our attention? I tell you what I told Brother Raines yesterday, Brother Doug Raines. I said, I'm interested in pastoring a group of people, and I know everybody in this church is not going to be this way, but I'm interested in pastoring a group of people that will be committed to Christ, that will say, it doesn't make any difference to me what it is. If it is going to be a hindrance to my walk with God, then I will not allow it to enter into my life.
Amen.
If it's a CD, if it's music. I mean, people say, it's dead down here. Church is dead down here. And then you get in their car and drive off and turn the radio on and you find out why the church is dead. Because they're a part of the church. They're sin everywhere. Things are going on. And it's not very difficult to find out why.
Amen.
Would you want to be committed to Christ this morning? I'm talking about have a relationship with God, walk with Jesus. I mean, really overcome the darkness, the devil, the damnation, deception. I'm talking about overcoming doubt. Do you really want to overcome? Or do you want to stay right where you're at? You can stay right where you're at. Well, no, you can't. I wish you could stay right where you're at, but you're not. You're either going to get worse, or are you going to turn and go the other direction? I'm going to ask you a question. Do you want to overcome? All right, I want to ask you another question. If you say, preacher, I'm really reluctant about answering that question because I'm afraid of the next few. Preacher, I would like to walk with God. I would like to serve the Lord with all my heart, mind, and soul. I am sick of living my life the way I'm living it, just half-hearted, coming to church and singing in the choir, like Brother Josh said, and you can't see a song on your countenance. It don't mean anything. I don't know worship, the power of God. It just, preacher, I'd like to be committed. I really would. All right, I'm going to ask you something. Are you willing to get whatever it is in your world, whether it's in your home,
right,
whether it's in your car, whether it's in your pocket, and deal with it if it stands between you and a committed relationship with Jesus? The Lord dealt my heart about something during Jubilee that I needed to deal with. It took me about a week and a half to deal with it because I had to reason in my mind, I can't make it. I mean, I didn't, you know, I had more justified reasoning probably than you have about whatever's in your mind to deal with what I felt like was being a hindrance to my walk with God and my serving the Lord. Listening to me? And God dealt with my heart again last night and this morning about something that was really innocent and simple to some degree, but can be trouble and problems that I need to deal with me if I'm going to be committed. I'm not saying I'm not overcoming right now, Miss Elaine. I'm talking about being committed to overcome. I'm not talking about overcoming today. I'm talking about, Brother Thren, Miss Allison, you listen to me. I'm talking about making a commitment. Not just overcome today. I'm talking about, Brother Danny, making a commitment to overcome tomorrow. Amen. And next week and next Amen. Year.
Amen. Man.
Whether it's Hollywood, whether it's video, whether it's clothing,
Amen.
Whether it's style, fashion, attitude, whatever it is, preacher, this stands between me and what I know God wants out of my life. And I want to be committed to Him. I tell you what I need. I tell you what, my heart broke. I was headed down to South Carolina and I called a preacher friend. And he said, I said, how you doing? I'm doing. I said, how's folks down there? They're just here. He said, I went to church on Wednesday night. And I was so emotionally distraught. This is a pastor, a man of God now. Good man of God. I'm not talking about a lay person. I'm talking about a man, God's man. Pastors a good, strong church. He said, I got in the pulpit Wednesday night. He said, I had people gone on vacation, just didn't even consider to tell me that they were going. People in responsible positions don't show up to church for this, that, or the other. We've lost a lot of people. He said, I got in the church on Wednesday. I led the choir, made the announcements. I went to the pulpit and opened my Bible. I looked across the congregation. I said, I'm very angry. I'm upset. I am in no emotional condition to preach, and I'm not going to preach in this atmosphere. He said, I'm going fishing. Good night. He said, I closed my Bible and I walked out the back door. I didn't speak to nobody. I'm going to tell you what, buddy. You say, I can't believe a preacher would do that. But I'm telling you, that's the pressure and the burden and the anguish of heart that they are faced with because of a lack of people that is committed to overcome the world. That's right. I'm talking about young families that just don't care. Brother Barry Racklin and them were praying for revival. I mean, they've been spending time in prayer, and I'd been asked to come and preach. I preach on Wednesday night. God moves, the altars fill, people up in the choir loft praying. Thursday, he has a family just on a whim decides to go to Dollywood. And I mean, he can't even hardly lead the song service and then get me to the pulpit to preach because he is so distraught and upset because people don't care. But I'm going to tell you something. If that's the kind of church you want here, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 10 years from now, that's not what I desire to pastor. And I tell you what, there's a time when there was people in this church that would give up. It didn't make no difference what it was. They would deal with it, whatever it was, if it got in the way of their walk with Jesus. Some of you are not right with God. Some of you, I don't know if you're going to be at church from one week to the next because you don't care. You're nonchalant. Your heart's not right with the Lord. And I'm telling you what, if you're a child of God, you will be chastised by the hand of the Lord. If you can live a shoddy, inconsistent, loose life, and God's judgment not come, Paul said, you're bastards and not sons. That's what he said. And you better not think for a moment that you're going to sit on the pews of the Pleasant View Baptist Church and live in sin and me usher you off into heaven. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I want to overcome. I do not want to be overcome. I do not want to be a victim of the victims. What about you? Is there anybody here to say, preacher, I'm honest. I've let things come in the house. I've let the kids do things. I've let things take place. And I've turned my head to it because, you know, everybody, the other independent Baptist church doing it. Their friends are doing it. They're texting people and they're doing this and this is going on and all this stuff. And, you know, it's overtook us. And it's just overcome us. The darkness has overcome us. But I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it today. I'm sick of it. You may be here this morning lost. You say, preacher, I'm lost and I don't want to go to hell. I seriously do not want to go to hell. The only way you overcome the judgment of God is through redemption. Jesus loves you this morning, and He'll save you if you'll let Him.